Hey, welcome back. This is the Infamous Podcast, episode 8. Brian Williams, we're sitting here in a room with no power. How do you feel about that?
I feel hot and uncomfortable. I need a drink. Stella Artois, do you have one?
I have two.
You do?
Yeah. When we're done, we'll crack some open.
How fun is that? Let's both have a Stella while we're... I'm just kidding. We got to do this sober because no telling what will come out of my mouth if I start drinking.
Yeah, this filter that I like have like convinced these people that I have.
Exactly.
That'll go away as well exactly. quickly. And all right, so...
Comic Book America, what's up? What's going on?
Comic books. That's what's going
comic
on.
Comic books are what's going on. There's a lot of shit jumping off. Shots fired today.
Shots fired.
Zack Snyder. Shots fired. Did you see it?
I did not film it. I was not on the interwebs today.
Ant-Man is forgettable pop culture madness right now. We will all forget Ant-Man, but Superman and Batman are eternal.
A sucker punch. Oh.
What was the movie with the owls with swords?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he do that too?
Yeah. You know, and yeah.
Zach, stay in your lane, bruh. Stay in your lane. First of all, as a comic book fan, I love Marvel and DC. Okay? It's been pointed out to me that I'm very negative on this show, but let me say this right now. Brian, you know, you've known me for a while. I'm not negative. I just want to see good stuff.
Yeah, and I think we've been very clear about that.
Yeah. I mean, I want all artists and writers to know I got nothing but love for you and what you do, but there comes a point where you got to say what you like, what you don't like. That's what this show's about.
And you know, as a community, if we don't express dislike for things or, you know, ask
more
the publishers,
of our...
yeah, to, for more.
Right.
To be more, to be better. They never will.
There's no pressure. There's let's keep turning out the same old stuff that we always do. And I think that's what made the House of Ideas, when Marvel used to be called that, I think that's what made them trying to find out what the next thing, you know, the public wanted, what the readers wanted, you know. And they had, remember the letters pages back in the 60s and 70s? They had it was almost like they had an internet with the people then.
Right.
You know, they were in tune with what fans wanted. I think they've lost that, but I wanted to get back to that.
So, I mean, that harkens back to the conversation you and I were having last night. Marvel, in the past, was kind of the zeitgeist in comics for what was happening in the rest of popular culture.
Spirit of the age, if you guys don't know what zeitgeist means.
And,
But I know that we attract a very intelligent listener, so...
If you don't know what zeitgeist means, it starts with a Z, Google it. anyway... You know, and you made an excellent point when we were talking last night when it came to like the horror comics and you know some
kung
of those
fu.
The yeah kung fu
blaxploitation.
Yep, exactly. And I think I brought up a pretty good point myself when I said, "What's the zeitgeist of popular culture?"
Hold on
right
a second.
Now?
Hold on a second.
Thank you.
You brought up a good point.
I did, patted him
on his back.
So, but no, I mean they're the zeitgeist for popular culture right now.
Right.
And you know they're. The Secret Wars has been interesting. The real question is what happens coming out of this, and can they continue, or can they find that House of Ideas moniker again and actually live up to it, or are they just another part of the House of Mouse?
Well, and it's weird to me because I've seen you reading the Secret Wars stuff, and also, what was that other stuff for DC earlier this summer? Earth's End? No. Earth's End or whatever. I don't know. It was some futuristic thing. I mean, you know how the Terminator walks in a room and you can see through his eyes and he's like assessing everything? That's how I kind of am when I walk in the comic book store. And I'm just like, I see garbage when I look at stuff like that. I mean, it's like, and not a personal knock. There might be a couple of nuggets in here. I'm reading, what's the one with the Nova family? The Black Nova family. Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, Infinity Gauntlet.
I'm reading that. That's a Secret War title. So there's a couple of jewels in the garbage. Mm-hmm. But to me, until you get to regular, stick-to-it, brick-and-mortar continuity, and that's what this episode is about, folks, until you get to that, all of this is Elseworlds shit.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
So, I mean, that leads us right into kind of Elseworlds and our quick hits before we get into our two big topics today with continuity, and then we want to talk a little bit about digital comics at the end.
Right.
So we both watched the latest DC animated movie, JLA Gods and Monsters.
Gods and Monsters.
I actually wrote down all your thoughts while we were talking last night, so you can refer back to them very easily.
Thank you.
He's so helpful. That's what I do.
He's so helpful.
You actually brought up...
Isn't Gods and Monsters also the name of a movie that won an Oscar about the filming of Frankenstein?
Was it the filming... Was it that? Or I thought...
I think so. We'll check that later. Yeah. I'm sorry. I always...
We don't have access to the internet right now,
yeah.
So...
Yeah. Power outage.
It's really weird. We're recording a podcast, but like, there's no way we can post it until
that's why we're true Vikings, because we didn't break down. We're still doing this shit straight up.
Well, you
up.
Are wearing the horned helmet too, which
I'm
is
not
awesome.
I'm not wearing it.
Anyway, you said something that, like, I don't know if I echoed this, but you said when you first started, the first time you watched it, you fell asleep.
Yeah, I did.
I did the same thing.
Really? You didn't tell me that last night.
I didn't know if I told you or not, and I actually fell asleep before we found out about Batman.
Okay.
And I woke back up for the Wonder Woman, New God stuff.
Yeah,
and
that's what I did.
And then
the
I went back
thing.
And I filled same, in the blanks.
Same
but,
thing.
And I was dozing a little bit during the Super Zod stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But... Having gone back and watched the movie in its entirety, I thought it was interesting from the point of view of, like, almost like the Nail, the Elseworlds story.
Alan Davis,
yeah,
miniseries about Superman. Tell them what it's about. So the Nail,
yeah,
the Nail basically was an Elseworlds, and when we say Elseworlds, we mean the creators take a character that you know, Superman, Batman, and flip the mythology on his head. So there was an Elseworlds story called Speeding Bullets where Superman lands in Gotham City, yeah, and is adopted by Thomas and Martha Wayne. Is it Thomas and Martha?
Yeah, and they name him Bruce.
So a flip on the Superman and the Batman mythology.
Which I hadn't heard of that one.
Right.
Like, I don't know how I missed that.
It was one of the very first ones they did.
Because that one's like right in my wheelhouse.
Well, there's another one called The Nail, and I guess it was the... What if... Martha and... Or no. John... Ma and Pa Kent.
Yeah.
What if a nail had been in their tire, or the nail hadn't punctured their tire?
Right.
So they wouldn't have come across Superman in that field. Okay? And he'd wound up in other people's hands. I don't want to ruin the story for you. It's a great one.
Yeah.
And has actually spawned a sequel that was pretty good, too. Did you ever read that?
No.
The Nail 2.
No, I didn't.
It was awesome. Alan Davis did it too.
Okay.
Check it out.
I'm going to hit up Comixology later tonight.
Right.
But quickly back to just Gods and Monsters. Let's just kind of...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we need to get really, really deep. You should totally watch it. It's like the Bruce Timm, Batman the Animated Series art style.
Which is getting kind of passe.
It's not the same. Like, it's not as like crisp as, you know, the animated series
DC
stuff.
Uses the same... like house style for almost every cartoon, and I think that's a mistake. It's getting kind of boring. Actually, that's why I fell asleep. I was told that Young Justice was great. It was a great cartoon.
It was.
And I watched it, and good animation, good characterization, but the stories all follow a similar beat. You know, just like Batman Beyond, just like any of the other DC cartoons, they all follow a same beat, and yeah. I get it, but it's boring. And Gods and Monsters followed that same beat. I'll tell you real quick what I liked about it, and then you can chime in. I liked the notion that instead of Jor-El, Zod is Kal-El's father. That's cool. Okay? That's a flip. And also, I like the fact, not that Wonder Woman in this is a new god. I didn't really like her character so much, but I liked their inclusion of the new Genesis characters. They're done wrong. Yeah. They're not exciting, but the one character they do get that really charges me, and I would like to see him in his own cartoon, is Orion.
I think, yeah, I mean, it was really interesting with Orion in that part of it, yes, and what was going on, yeah, in that particular scene. I did like that part of the movie the best.
Yes.
And there are things that happen with the, was it the Allfather? No, wait, that's...
Highfather.
The Highfather, sorry. Yes. Allfather is Odin. With Highfather, that was kind of cool. And, like, kind of came out of left field, and it was like, what? You know?
Like the Red Wedding type.
Kind of, yeah. It was like, that, you know?
Yeah. That's what I thought of.
Yeah.
I wonder if the Red Wedding is that cultural touch point. Always going to remember.
So, yeah. I don't ever want to go to another wedding again. So, and I can't wait to do a wedding for my daughter and then like just kill the whole family.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's horrible and evil. I love it.
It is.
Okay, so
would you recommend it?
You know, I would recommend watch it once. Wait till it's on like Netflix or Amazon. I don't think you need to go out and buy this movie.
I'd say this. I'd recommend you give it a look-see because it was somewhat intelligent. It wasn't just a money grab. Some people put some thought into it. Once again, Batman's character is, I don't know. They reach for things to do with Batman, and sometimes I just don't like where they go with it. They make Batman into like a Morbius character. And that's what I kept thinking the whole time. Okay, Batman is a vampire. That's a new twist on the character, but he kind of came off as Michael Morbius from Marvel.
Yeah,
which is kind of a ripoff.
Yeah. Well, he was like Man Bat. Or I mean, because it was Kirk Langstrom.
Yeah.
So that's not spoiling anything.
Right.
But it was Man Bat. But like, he never went like Bat. He went Vampire Bat.
Yeah.
And it was like,
which is not Kirk Langstrom.
No.
And then the other thing that I find is when I first saw previews for the series, I looked at how they had depicted or drawn Superman, and I just didn't like it at all. And then when I saw the movie, I actually kind of liked Superman because he was not a pushover. He was every bit the son of Zod, and he carried himself that way. And he just said a couple of things that I thought were out of character. He told a chick one time, he was like, yeah, I guess the Steve Trevor character, which is Wonder Woman's boyfriend, walks in on them after they have completely murdered and trounced a detachment of soldiers and supervillains.
Right.
I mean, they killed them. I mean, they're breaking necks. Batman's sucking people's blood. Superman is incinerating people. And Steve Trevor comes up and goes, such and such is going to be very upset about this. And Superman goes, what are you kidding me? She's going to be positively orgasmic. In any alternate universe, I don't want my Superman really saying the word orgasmic. But, yeah, you know, other than little silly stuff like that, I think it's worth a look because it's not just senseless tripe that they just generated just to sell discs. I think somebody put some thought behind it. It's just not a very incredibly interesting thought.
It was, I think the word you used was intelligent.
Yes.
But it wasn't compelling.
Correct. There you go.
So.
There you go.
All right. So we kind of already started talking about this. The Elseworlds comics.
Yeah.
Elseworlds are comics that exist outside of general continuity. So we talked about the Nail already. Everyone who's hearing our voice right now has most likely read Kingdom Come by Mark Waid.
Well, people don't like my just continued praise of Marvel, but I think Marvel really made Elseworlds a marketable concept when they started the What If line. And that was back in the 70s. And their first issue of What If was, what if Spider-Man in issue 2 had actually joined the Fantastic Four?
Yeah.
Which is a great concept to play with. We know he didn't, and he went on to be famous by himself, but they started that line. They also had one called What If Dr. Doom Was a Good Guy?
Yeah.
You know, classic issue.
I mean, and they go back to that What If like every 5 to 7 years and trot out like 4 more. And it's always like just 2 issues, maybe 4 if the story warrants it, but They're always fun. I have on here Marvel or Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you a little bit about it. It's a really fun kind of Elseworlds where Deadpool is in a mental institution. He escapes. He goes on a rampage killing heroes, villains alike. It doesn't matter.
For what?
Because he's crazy.
Just
yeah, because he's Deadpool, you know, and like you know how Deadpool breaks down the fourth wall. Like in this, he literally breaks down the fourth wall, goes to New York, real life New York, you know, IRL, in real life, and kills the writers.
Thank you.
Sorry,
I never knew. I'm serious.
Really?
I never knew what that meant.
All right.
I hate when I see shit. I'm like when people say meta. Like, what was that? Like, I just figured out what IMHO is. Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so he kills the actual writers, which, you know, is kind of funny.
And yeah, that's cool. Usually, and what I was going to say, and everybody's going to be like, Brian hates everything. Thanks for giving me a complex, Megan.
She's not listening anyways.
Yeah, she is. Don't kid yourself. She is listening. No, but, like, usually an Elseworld story takes a little bit more craft than Deadpool Kills the Marvel Universe.
It was just fun.
But I get it.
It's by no means, is it The Nail or Red Sun or Gotham by Gaslight, those kind of things.
I think you just mentioned one of my favorite Elseworlds, Red Sun.
Yeah.
Red Sun was awesome.
Yeah.
But I love Marvels and Kingdom Come, both illustrated by Alex Ross. Kingdom Come was written by Mark Waid, and Kurt Busiek wrote Marvels.
I think so,
he did. And then we talked about The Nail and Speeding Bullets.
So I'm happy you mentioned Speeding Bullets because I didn't know anything about that, and it's definitely on my to buy list.
What's the Hulk one?
Which Hulk
one? Where he's got a gray beard and
where he's the Maestro or
Future,
Future Imperfect.
Future Imperfect,
yeah.
That's basically an Elseworlds, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, you can almost say Planet Hulk is an Elseworlds at this point. But,
yeah.
And
here's the reason why we bring up Elseworlds. And here's the reason why the title of tonight's episode, which from now on, we're just going to clearly explain why we title episodes what we title them. The title of tonight's episode is Continuity is Dead. There's no continuity you can depend on. You got DC New 52. You got DCU.
Like YOU, not DCU.
I think Marvel relaunched a little while ago.
They did Marvel Now. They did All New. Yeah. So, like, Ultimates. So they've done two. Ultimates, like, what, 15 years ago at this point?
Yeah.
And then now, coming this fall, later this fall, early winter, is the All New, All Different.
What was interesting, though, about the Ultimates, not to kiss Marvel's ass again, but they didn't destroy their continuity. They kept that and created a new one.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
And you know, I really... Probably the first 150 issues of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't all gold by any stretch of the imagination. But I thoroughly enjoyed reading those. And I don't know if you read the Ultimate X-Men book.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the first graphic trade I read. Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah. It was just... Unfortunately, it pulled too much from that movie universe.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't kind of, it didn't stand on its own, and why it ultimately just kind of went away.
As opposed to Ultimate X-Men, I enjoyed New X-Men by Grant Morrison.
Yes.
That did take the good things from the movie universe, but kept all the good stuff.
They kept the core of
the
X-verse from the comic or whatever books. You want to say. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I liked how Marvel kept their regular continuity, but created this new one for new readers.
Yeah, and you know, it was great to see what, like, even for old readers to like look at, say, okay, like Brian Michael Bendis at the time was kind of a fresh face in comics.
Yeah.
What's this guy's take on Peter Parker now, or in this case, the year 1999.
Mm-hmm.
What would he be like? And if you look at my hair kind of looks like what my Mark Bagley drew it as. I need a haircut. I have the Mark Bagley, you know, Ultimate Spider-Man signed on my wall. Like, you know, I there wasn't anything about that I feel like they got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now here I am kissing Marvel's ass.
There's one thing.
But
Green Goblin
yeah.
went way wrong in Ultimates.
So
I didn't like him.
It was too far.
He's like a dragon
yeah.
or something. Because I bought something called Ultimate 7. It was illustrated by this dude named Trevor Herzine. Brian Michael Bendis wrote it. And it had all of Spider-Man's villains converge on him. Electro, Kraven the Hunter,
yeah.
Green Goblin. And it ended up, the fight ended up on the White House lawn. And remember, Green Goblin was breathing fire.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
It's like, bruh, cut that out. The Green Hot Goblin was almost like the Hulk.
He needs to throw, he's the same size as the Hulk. Yeah. He needs to be throwing pumpkin bombs.
And riding gliders yeah, and tackling. Gliders. And yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
Throwing Gwen Stacy off the George Washington Bridge, even though it's supposed to be the Brooklyn Bridge.
Real quick. I saw this on online this week. There was a post where it was like, if the Joker was in the Marvel Universe, who would his arch enemy be? Quick.
Moon Knight, right?
You said Moon Knight? Okay.
Well, I'm really just placating you because I think that's where you're going.
Well, no. But... I wasn't going to go with that. So... I was going to go Spider-Man because isn't Green Goblin a knockoff Joker at the end of the day? Isn't he really?
See, I always looked at him and Lex Luthor on the same level, maybe because the industrialist thing.
Well, lately because of Harry Osborn or Norman Osborn. But back in the day, when I was little, the Green Goblin always reminded me of like a kind of a flyer Joker because, you know, he had pumpkin bombs and he was flying. And he had little tricks in his bag yeah. and, you know, but...
I mean, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I thought you were going with Moon Knight since you were... giving me an education on the character last night.
We'll do an episode on Moon Knight.
But it's...
So does continuity matter?
I don't think it does. And
not anymore.
Honestly, like, I would rather they stop pretending to have continuity.
Me too.
And just tell stories. You know, like, I've lamented the downfall of the television miniseries. Like, we've had the downfall of the comic book maxi series. You know, the Legion Losts. You know,
I've always heard about it, but never read
those
it.
Other, you know, the 12 issue stories that they go for a year.
I heard it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the Annihilation?
Yeah.
Wave and all of that.
Like that whole, like,
which really gave life to this current incarnation of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah.
But you know, they've gotten
I think they can still exist, but quit trying to claim they're a cohesive part of the universe right. because they're not.
Yeah. You know? I mean, right before we got started, you were thumbing through Planet Hulk. And, you know, I told you, like, I want to spend a year in this particular universe
right.
of Planet Hulk in Greenland and, you know, with the gamma irradiated citizens of this planet or this battle realm. I'm not quite ready to, like, give it up. And after 5 issues, I'm not quite there. The same thing with Spider-Man Renew Your Vows. That reached its end as far as this part of Secret Wars goes. Like, I'd like to go back and see more of, like, the beginning before we got to issue 1.
Well, I think what the absolute, and I'm going to say this word, but it sounds stupid coming out of my mouth, the bummer for me, when I was younger, and what they're doing right now in Marvel movies currently is they're creating a storyline.
Yeah.
And I feel compelled to follow that storyline.
But they're not doing that in the comics.
And they're not doing it in the comics. And that is when you find yourself going to the store every Wednesday because you have to get several books and continue those storylines. Then and only then do you feel what fandom and being a fanboy or fangirl is all about.
Yeah.
Okay? Because when I used to, like, go into the comic book store like a rabid dog to pick up the next issue of Planetary or The Authority.
Right.
I had issues, bruh. No pun intended. No pun intended. I had issues. Warren Ellis just did it to me recently with Moon Knight.
Yeah.
I had to get the next issue of Moon Knight to see what this crazy mother was going to do with Moon Knight. I had to get it, you know. But anyway, I just think continuity is fun when it's executed properly, and what's the old analogy? There's too many Indian or
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
We'll be PC about it.
Well, we'll be PC.
Too many chiefs,
about it.
Not enough Indians.
There you go.
You know, but
exactly.
I knew where you were going there.
Yes.
No, I agree. I think you know, we missed you last week.
Yes.
from the bottom of my heart.
I wanted to let the negativity cool off. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not negative. I got nothing but love for y'all.
You're passionate and opinionated.
Exactly.
But we talked about a little bit about like some of the changes that are going on with like Marvel and you know, how will this affect like one side or the other, the cinematic universe versus the comic book universe, getting away from the creative committee.
Yeah.
Which when we talked about that, I was kind of happy they got rid of that from the movie perspective. I also like, you know, like any good fanboy, I came up with my own solution and, you know, rotate it out.
Rotate people.
You know, if it's got to be four people, I always think you should have three, so you can never come up with a stalemate. You have to have a consensus one way or the other. But, you know, rotate it out. Like, get fresh voices in there. The creators, the producers, the production team aren't going to get pissy. You know, I'm going to share some hate right now. I think Joe Quesada, if he's not drawing something or coming up with a design for a costume, really should not give any input into how a story goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Obviously, Joe Quesada has been doing something of note.
He draws fantastically.
Yeah.
Like,
but he's had some decisions. He's brought some people in. He's made some things happen, like the Black Panther series that he gave the thumbs up to in the Marvel Knights line.
Yeah.
Without Joe Quesada, we don't have that. We don't have Daredevil. All
right.
I mean, he's been there and been pivotal on some of the things that have happened that have changed the course of Marvel's success or lack of success. But I agree with what you said. Rotate this talent, because anytime you give somebody too much say, mm-hmm. you know, not to be corny, guys, but power does corrupt. And I mean, then people start thinking,
you've been to the airport, you've seen TSA agents, they have the smallest monikum of power that you can give them. And those are the worst people on the planet.
Right.
Like, how is it gonna happen when you give a writer who's already, you know, a best-selling writer,
right,
power over this other billion-dollar industry?
And every movie is killing.
Yeah.
Is killing it. And he thinks, for better or worse, he's the reason for that success. I put it to you like this. I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've liked pretty much every Marvel movie to this point except Thor Dark World.
Yeah.
I really hated that. I could have smacked somebody in the mouth with a newspaper after I watched that.
With a Mjolnir?
Yeah. But other than that, I've liked all the Marvel movies, so I'm kind of nervous. You know, did they kick these guys out prematurely?
I think we're going to get to see if Kevin Feige can stand on his own, you know, quote-unquote genius. And is he the true driving force behind the creativity that's going on? Or was he just playing well within a system?
Because guess what? Quesada and Bendis, whether you like it or not, are comic book guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kevin Feige's not a comic book guy. Okay.
As much as he says he is.
Yeah. He's not a comic book guy. He hasn't written a comic. He hasn't drawn a comic. He hasn't plotted one out. He thinks he knows. And that's what bothers me sometimes in corporate America.
Yeah.
Guys come in or chicks come in. And they got their position however they got it, but they never did the hard work.
Right.
And then they start telling the ants how to do the hard work, and it's like, cool out on that, because you really don't even you ain't really about that life. You don't know what it is. You don't know how to do this, and that's what I worry about, just disrupting the creative committee.
I mean, from what we've seen so far, it seems like he's a let the creative people do what they're best at type of a person. So we'll see if that continues.
Right.
So to get back to, though, does continuity matter? Definitively, yes or no?
I think it does when you focus on it. If you give me every possible version of Superman that I want, of course, like a drug addict in a crack house or a kid in a candy store, I'm going to want as much Superman content as you shell out.
Right.
You know, it's just, that's just what it is. But when you say, all right, here is our definitive version of Superman, and here's what we're going to give you, and every 2 or 3 years will give you something extravagant, like outside the norm,
right.
It has a greater impact.
Yeah.
I enjoy it more.
So I think where DC, since we're talking Superman, lost it, it's when they got rid of 75 years of continuity, but like they didn't really get rid of it. They just condensed 75 years of continuity into 5 years of continuity.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you remember when the PU-52 started.
Oh, yes, I do.
They had only been heroes.
I gave them my support because I'm a comic book fan. Even though I hate the DC New 52, I went out and I know exactly what I bought the first day. I bought Animal Man.
Yeah.
No, I didn't buy every one of them. I bought Animal Man. I bought Superman. I bought Action Comics.
Yeah.
I bought Batman, Scott Snyder. I bought Green Arrow, Red Hood and the Outlaws.
And I think Detective Comics was the other
one. I didn't buy Detective Comics.
Because that was the one where the Joker got his face cut off.
Yeah, I didn't like the artist and the writer on that. Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
And I really like, what is the JLA Dark?
Yeah, the magic one with Constantine.
Eye Vampire
was actually not a bad book.
It wasn't.
I was really upset when they canceled that one.
I remember the artist that did Namor just now, Jay Lee.
Oh
remember a couple episodes ago?
Because callback, yeah.
Didn't he do Eye Vampire?
Yeah. Think so.
And then I bought the Jonah Hex book. Well, yeah. It was kind of like in Gotham.
The All Star Western.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I think continuity matters in as much as there needs to be that baseline, of storytelling. And then it's like you said, it's what makes these extra things more special.
You were too young with the original Secret Wars.
Yeah, I mean, I've read Secret Wars, but I wasn't there to understand the historical, like,
well, I bought mine. I bought my first issue at UDF.
Yeah.
With a milkshake in my hand, like, what the fuck is this?
Wait, did you get a milkshake or a malt?
I got a milkshake.
Oh, so wrong.
We don't call them malts. We call them fraps. I'm kidding. When I was at BC, I went up and said, "Hey, I'll have a malt." They were like, "Fuck are you talking about, man? A frap?" I'm like, "Dude, why would I call a malt a frap?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Boston whatever.
People.
Whatever. Ugh. Boston.
Boston.
I thought
there'd be equations on this, but Harvard bat.
Right.
I do a better Boston accent than Ben Affleck, and he's from there. Anyway,
the
kidding.
Whole Secret Wars thing.
Yeah.
Was I can't describe it to you as a fan at that point. I was like, oh yeah, I got to get this because Mike Zeck just like drew every Marvel superhero and I'm copping this right now. And it says on the top of the issue 12 issue maxi series, so I'll be at UDF every month to get the next issue. And then when Secret Wars concluded itself, the ramifications
were felt in the main continuity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a great payoff.
So like Secret Wars, like I knew there was the comic series and like I had a couple issues. I didn't have all 12. But do you remember the old Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man cartoon where they did like the 6 issue of Secret Wars with like Madame Web and stuff?
Yes.
Like after watching that is when I watched them
with my son.
Yeah. When I pedaled
the 90s, the early 90s Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's
which
when
was pretty decent.
I pedaled my bike down to the 8-mile track to the comic book store, picked up I think it was in trade at that point. So all right.
But that's good too. Discovery.
Yeah.
Here's
the beauty of.
Here's what I worry about for the young generations now, just like with hip hop right now. Fans out there, I'm gonna let you know, I love hip hop, but I hate this garbage that's being produced now and passing for hip hop right now. I listen on Sirius Radio, I listen to Backspin. That's old school hip hop. And there used to be so much quality hip hop, you could just be like, wow, I feel like a gangster today, so I'm gonna listen to NWA. But I feel like a hippie tomorrow, so I'm gonna listen to De La Soul. I mean, it's there were choices. And there are a lot of choices in comics, but the fans, the young fans of the day, I mean, what are you going to tell them? Yo, pick up that Youngblood trade. Comics have increasingly gotten less important, less quality runs.
I think they're less inclusive because you have to like understand more about the characters now. And so that's why I personally think continuity doesn't matter. If you once every other year put out like an Elseworlds tale that has nothing to do with continuity but it's just a kick-ass story about a character, that will open the gate to people like, you know, like you enjoy The Hunt as much as I do, right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't just go on a hunt and say, I want every Batman book because you went and saw The Dark Knight Rises.
Right.
You know, you go on a hunt because you read Frank Miller's The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want to know more about, like, I want Batman Year One. I want Batman Year Three. You know, I want to know more about this death in the family thing.
Exactly.
You know,
I'll tell you a current, like, fans, people that are listening, Brian gets on a crusade every now and then because I see something that I didn't collect a long time ago and now I have to have it.
Yeah.
I was a nut over Alan Grant and I didn't say Alan Moore, Alan Grant and Norm Breyfogle's Detective Comics Batman. I thought his Batman was beautiful. His art is beautiful. Every panel this guy drew, I mean, it's just like if you want to get soaked up in a very...
I think there's some of those in that closet behind you right now.
Well, I had most of the run,
yeah.
But the other day I saw a couple of issues posted online that I didn't have. Guess where I'll be this weekend? Getting those issues. Queen City Comics. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug.
But, you know, that's the beauty of being a comic book fan. You can do that. And I think issues, because the lack of continuity and the lack of... sticking with certain storylines, comics have depreciated in terms of going back and getting classic runs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no... The last six X-Men graphic novels by Brian Michael Bendis, they all look beautiful because Chris Bacalo illustrated them, but there's really nothing going on. It's just a bunch of X-Men talking to each other.
So, you know, it was all the whole, they brought the original five from the past to the future. With zero, like, almost no ramification. Like,
I know.
You know, it's like, they brought them to the future, and then they couldn't get them back. And it's like, well, shouldn't, like, Cyclops start, like, you know, Marty McFlying out of the picture? Like, where's Iceman? Like, why is Iceman still,
I hate to say it, you know, once again, because I'll be seen as being negative, but that's lazy. It's just lazy storytelling. But the art, Stuart Eminem.
Yeah.
Oh, I bought it just for the art. I buy these books just... So we're going to buy them anyway. And you guys know that. Maybe that's why you don't care about the logic in the stories. But if you write a good story like the Kree-Skrull War.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s.
Yeah, Secret Invasion.
When Ant-Man goes into the Vision and goes through his body. Mm-hmm. You write shit like that. We will not only buy the trade, but we'll tell other people, and it will later become fodder for a movie.
Yeah, and in this day and age, we'll tweet about it, we'll Periscope it, we'll Facebook it, we'll pin it, we'll Vine it, whatever. You know, there's so many more avenues for fans to communicate with each other now. I mean, in the past, like you said, it was that letters to the editor section at the back of comic books. That's how you knew other people actually read comics,
right?
Because you know, we were. Like, we weren't enjoying the renaissance, if you will, of the day like we are now.
Right.
Where it's cool to like comics, you know.
There was a weird period, though, in the 60s where, like, guys at Harvard and Yale were, like, talking about Thor and Doctor Strange and Iron Man because, once again, not to kiss Marvel's ass, but college students were really... connecting with Doctor Strange because he was like studying ancient arts in Tibet.
Whoa.
And Thor was Norse mythology, which could be, you know, a subject somebody was majoring in college.
And again, it goes back to the zeitgeist of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and
they tapped it.
Yeah. All right. So you think continuity matters. I think continuity is a bygone product of storytelling that we're just not going to get from these companies anymore.
No, I think it matters if you focus on it. I mean, I like all this other stuff. I like Superman Red Son. I like Hulk, Scar, Son of Hulk, mm-hmm. Red Hulk, Blue Hulk, Rainbow Hulk, you know?
Female Red Hulk.
But at some point, doesn't it get a bit ridiculous?
Yeah.
Captain America with long hair in Greenland. And Devil Dinosaur. I mean...
But they're warbound.
If you're going to commit to it, commit to it.
Yeah.
You know? But don't just throw out a little miniseries, wrap it in a trade, and say, ah, that's it. You know, we really didn't have any idea. Well, like, how did you feel after you watched Lost?
Ugh.
I mean, that's how I feel after some of these graphic novels. It's like, you just put that together, a handy-dandy concept, just to get my dollars, and it really went nowhere.
Right. All right. So, I mean, we can sit here and argue about
it's still
right?
fun.
It is fun, yeah.
It's fun.
It makes us both, like, long for a different time. All right. So...
I just like a storyline. You know? I love the storyline in the Marvel movies right now.
Yeah.
I love it. I love... And I didn't tell you this.
Yeah.
Last night... I get done fixing dinner for the kids. We were looking for something to do, just hang out, because it's a school night. Mm-hmm. Zoe and I are like, let's watch Age of Ultron. It's streaming.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
Bam.
Unfortunately, she left to go to her mother's house, so I was left by myself watching Ultron, falling asleep to it. And, you know, this is the first time I've seen it since I went to the movie theater. And, you know, I found out that even though I was disappointed, I still really liked that movie.
You can rewatch it.
Oh, it's packed with so much goodness. There's so many good things. You know, and I like the storyline. I want to see what's going to happen. That can be the biggest success of... I can say that's the biggest success of Age of Ultron. I still want to see what's going to happen.
You're even more excited for Civil War.
Yes. To be honest, I'm really not that hyped for Civil War. You know what I'm most hyped about? And it has to do with another movie that we've just lavished all of our just compliments on this summer. Ant-Man. I want to see Paul Rudd interact with these other characters.
Did you see there? I don't know if the preview's like made its way online yet, but like from the D23, the preview where Ant-Man and Captain America meet, and I guess Paul Rudd is like shaking his hand, right. And he shakes it for too long. And he goes, "I'm still shaking your hand." Right. It's like it's like yes, that's like everybody's understanding this character.
And you know, I really was upset when Ed Norton departed from the series. But when I watched Age of Ultron again, I'm like, Ruffalo's my Bruce Banner. He's my Bruce. When he's sitting at the bar talking to Black Widow, he kills me. He has it in his eyes like, God, I'm so depressed that if something happens, if somebody steps on my big toe and hurts my bunion, I'm going to turn into the Hulk.
And like when the attack happened from the Proto-Ultron and like, Black Widow and Banner dive across the bar, and she's like, "Don't turn green."
Right.
He's like, "I'm not."
Right. Right.
I got this.
Just good. The moratorium for "I got this" will begin now. Anyway.
Okay, I got this. No more saying "I got this."
But I'm sorry, I sidetracked.
Yeah.
This, but
no. It's in. You know what though? Like, it's a kind of continuity that. Obviously, somebody at Marvel gets like, where is the rest of this? And you know, kind of where all these stories come from? Why are they forgetting this? Why has DC forgotten this? You know, we don't talk a lot about like Dark Horse or Image, or we don't talk enough about them.
We
like,
don't, but we will. We're fledgling.
But like, I feel like
fledgling.
I mean, this is we've been doing this for 2 months.
Yeah, so. And we've come a long way, but. I love Image.
Yeah.
I love Image. I love what they do.
But it's really hard to get into like some of the Image books, like because you know they're not gonna last. Because they love trying new things.
But they also tried continuity.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the people that tried continuity were good at it.
Fair enough.
I mean, they did a bunch of crossovers. Jim Lee meets Todd McFarlane. McFarlane meets Rob Liefeld meets a bunch of X-Men teams meet each other.
Yeah.
Wildcats, Cyber Force, and what was the other one? Jim Valentino. He had a group too. I forget. But anyway,
tweet us about that.
Shadow Hawk and whatever.
But like, so like, The Walking Dead has its own continuity, right?
Yeah.
Invincible has its own continuity. Thief of Thieves. There's a book. It's super weird that it's from Image that I really like. It's called.
It will be pretty interesting if, like, Invincible crossed over with The Walking Dead.
That would be, and like, so they've had like little like scenes of that, and like Invincible crossed over with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
There's a book called Morning Glories, and it's got its own.
I
don't think
I've heard of Morning Glories. Never read it though.
Chew has its own continuity. That's fine. Like, I don't need to see this whole everybody interacting with everybody else. I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't either, but it'd be cool. But check this out. I forgot to mention this, and I'm gonna be brief about it. Had a slightly disgruntled customer last week that brought up the fact that Williams hates on everything. I think I've said that a couple of times. And that I don't read comics about females. And being a black indie writer and a black comic book fan, I sat, instead of firing off, you know, an invective-laced Facebook post or response to her, you know, I thought about it for a second, and I'm like, you know, she's frustrated just like I am.
Yeah.
You know, she wants to see, you know, I'm sure there are plenty of female listeners out there that want to see themselves. They want to enjoy themselves vicariously being represented by a character, a female character in these books.
Yeah.
So, one of the characters that this listener, or one of the books that this listener suggested I read was called The Lumberjanes. So let's sound off on it for a couple minutes. You read it. I read it.
I didn't care for it. It wasn't my cup of tea. I thought the art was too cartoony. Which, the story just didn't grab me. I read the first two or three issues and just kind of moved on.
Okay.
Which, you know, I think it came out about the same time as Rat Queens did.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And, like, Rat Queens hooked me.
Right.
From, like, the third page.
Right.
I was like, I want to know more about this story.
Yeah. I own Rat Queens, a graphic novel, and it's gangsta.
And Lumberjanes didn't do that. You know.
Lumberjanes also. Okay, let me tell you why I didn't pick up Lumberjanes. First of all, I didn't like the name. I was going to say that's a stupid name, but I'm not going to say that because now I get it.
Yeah.
I read the book. Yeah. Now it's a cool name. But when I first read the name, and it could be something as simple as that with me, a name is stupid and I won't read it.
Right.
Okay. Also, the art kind of turned me off too, because when I saw the artwork, it looked like the Wild Thornberries from Nickelodeon. Some shit my kids used to watch.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a book for kids. Well, much to my surprise, it's not for kids. It's not. There's a transgender couple, or there's a transgender character, and I guess a gay lesbian couple in the book. But I read it. I enjoyed it. I was mesmerized by it. It's got like it's got like a Goonies kind of appeal to it. Goonies / Adventure Time. Girls are at this camp. They're part of these scouts called the Lumberjanes, and they're in like this weird wooded area, and they're like getting into adventures and discovering weird animals and jewels and things like that.
Yeah,
that was the first issue. It was pretty cool to me. The only thing I'll say is this: I just gotta have a more open mind. I just gotta give things a chance. I don't usually go out and be like, hey. Did any female writers submit any books this week?
Well,
I don't do that.
You asked me last night, like, what, like, female book am I reading?
Yeah.
And I gave you a very truthful answer. Saga. Because Fiona Staples is an amazing artist.
She is.
She does such great work.
Mm-hmm. I needed nobody to tell me to pick up Saga.
She's responsible for the characters.
Yeah.
Like, even if I didn't see Brian K. Vaughan's name on that book, I would pick that up for the artwork, which is atypical for me.
When did you pick up Saga first?
the first day it came out.
First day it came out.
But the same thing she did, or not she, but like Sarah Pitch, I think it's Pitrinelli is how you say it. She Pitrinelli was, or yeah, Pitrinelli. She was the artist on Superior Spider-Man, where it's like
and she was the artist on Miles Morales.
Yeah. Like
very clean, very
like, amazing yeah. artist. Like I consider those female centric books. Like you want to talk about female creators, like don't just support Gail Simone. Support the artists. Support the other writers. You know? But at the end of the day, if the story's not cool and it doesn't like resonate with me, I'm not gonna read it.
On
and,
the other
and
the side,
same thing with like regular like other like
well on the other more side of
typical
this,
quote unquote
well,
comics.
Well on the Sorry. Other side no. I'm cutting you off, but I wanna make sure I get this in because yeah. it dovetails with what you're saying. The other side, I got the Lumberjanes on Comixology, and I also got another book that she suggested, which was Batgirl of Burnside.
Right.
And I've been wanting to pick it up because I really like the art. But when I got the book, I was like, okay, this is kind of like Batgirl crossed with the Hills, crossed with, you know, whatever.
I haven't read that book.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a lot of people talking on phones and social stuff, and that's cool.
Are there a lot of like hipster like mustaches where people are like, it depicts panels of them like doing the little villain thing with the wax at the tips of their mustache.
Yeah, and that's cool. And maybe you like that take of Batgirl. I like the artwork. I didn't really like the story.
Yeah,
I'm not interested. I'm probably not going to pick that trade up based on.
So when it comes to Batgirl, I'm really bitter because before the PU 52 kicked off, there was a Batgirl book, and Stephanie Brown was Batgirl, and of all the books I
and
was
she
getting,
she used to be who?
She was Spoiler.
Spoiler.
So, and of all the books I was getting at the time, that was my favorite. It was the only one that I would like go into the store, get my books, I would sit down in my car and I would read it. That's how much I loved that book. And when it ended, I was bummed. I was, and I remember I used to like tweet. Hold on.
And I'm getting ready to cite a bad example of a book, of a girl book that I liked because it broke all continuity rules, but I'll tell you in a minute.
But so the writer was Brian Miller, and I would like tweet at him like incessantly about how much I love this book.
Yeah.
And then when the whole Flashpoint thing went down, I remember tweeting at him like, hey man, when are we going to hear about like Stephanie Brown in Flashpoint? And he's like, oh, she's not going to be a part of it. And I was like, I almost threw my phone.
But see,
I
think you may have hit the nail on the head as to what this issue is.
Yeah.
And what Megan was suggesting. I think you like a female character, but she's written by a male.
You know, I just like the character. I like, you know, I can
there's,
see.
There's
but,
something there.
You
there's
know what?
Something there. There's something that female writers might be tapping into that females like to read that we're not picking up on or we're not vibing with.
But I mean, she wasn't an overtly like masculine character or anything like that. Like she had her feminine side. Like she was a complete character, and that's why I liked it. And you were gonna say something.
Oh, there was a girl. There was a comic book. Remember when Marvel brought out these titles, A2, Juggernaut, and Spider-Girl? And they were in this little side universe.
Yeah.
Very fun comics. Right. Ron Friends was the artist of most of the titles. And I think Sal Buscema was too. But there was this comic book about Mayday.
Yeah.
Parker. And I bought almost every issue of those. They were cool. It was fun.
And she was added to Spider-Verse. Like, I mean, she was part of the Spider-Verse story.
Right.
And she was one of the everybody talks about like Jessica Drew and Spider-Woman such great core, and she's a great character, but like I don't think enough people and Spider-Gwen was kind of the runaway success of Spider-Verse. I don't think Mayday got the credit that she deserved.
Uh-huh.
So like my computers are all named like so my like the big board computer is Peter Parker. My MacBook Pro that died is Ben Reilly. My one that we're recording on right now is Kane Parker, and then my drives are all named the drive at
America.
The extra drive in this one
Ryan
is Mayday.
Tudor has issues.
I do lots of.
So you read the Spider-Girl issues?
Yeah.
You like that?
I did. Yeah.
How did we miss this? That we both like this?
We've never really talked about it.
Did you ever see the cover where where Spider-Man is standing behind Mayday and she's got on boxing gloves, and Electro is standing behind his daughter and she's got on boxing gloves. I mean, just fun little dumb shit like that, but it was cool. But I think we've found the reason. Lumberjanes is more of a feminine product of a female writer with female sensibilities. And actually, this goes to my problem. Not a problem, because I don't mind. Obviously, I've been dealing with white guys writing black characters for years.
Maybe like a minute or two. I wouldn't say
this. right. A millisecond.
In the grand scheme of things.
But yes, I would like to see more black characters written by black people, because I think there might be an extra added dimension of authenticity.
I was going to say, I mean, there's obviously like dimensions like that, like, you know, like your book, Lucius Hammer, right? I could never sit down and write the character you've set up and necessarily be true to...
Well, I think Lucius is fairly universal, but...
Well, but like, no, he is. But at the same time, you know, he's got like his backstory and his issues and, you know...
Sorry, we're referring to stuff that you guys haven't
read. You should read it.
We'll sit down and one episode, I'll... Because I was also called on the carpet for being an indie writer, so I'll...
Actually, what we should do is one of these episodes, or do a special episode where you just read it like a radio play, and I'll do all like the sounds.
That's so, actually a pretty good idea. So, okay, Lucius Hammer, Harlem Shadow, or my book.
Like pew pew,
yeah,
bang pow, zap.
Well, that's what I do when I'm writing anyway.
I know. So. All right, so
I'm just kidding. I don't
okay, know. So I mean that's kind of like what we're reading. You know, we were both kind of late to the comic book store this week. I picked up probably more books than I intended to. I think the one I wanted to highlight is Faster Than Light from Image. It's the new number one.
I got it too. I just didn't read it.
Yeah. It's one of the Shadowline books, which is cool. And it is written by Brian. The story and illustrations are by Brian Haberlin. And the colors. His name is Gerard Van Dyke. So it's like my dyslexia just went like off the chart there.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
Anyway, it was an awesome first issue. My stuttering and dyslexia aside.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It was an awesome first issue, and
it
has me excited for more.
Let's cut to the chase, because this is gonna be another book. I bought it. I bought it digitally.
You bought it without me even saying anything.
Which we're going to get into.
Although, I did buy Descender Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
And okay. I haven't read it yet.
Damn it.
Because I read Darth Vader and Planet Hulk and Renew Your Vows. It is on the list for tonight. And now that our power is back on,
Megan,
ago.
Megan, Brian Williams trying to holler at you. I love Star Wars. I do. I loved the idea of Star Wars. I saw Star Wars in 1977 when I was 9 years old.
I wasn't born when the first Star Wars
came out. Yeah, I was there the first run, the first week, the first Wednesday it came out. Okay? Now, here's the deal, though. Brian did not read Descender because of his pitiful addiction to Marvel Star Wars comics. And I've come to realize...
It's not the Marvel Star Wars comics. It's Star Wars in general. Last week, Johnny and I, when you know, you were...
When I was ousted.
Whatever.
No, I was at dealer.
Since you blew us off. Till 11. When you were actually working.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Trying to pay tuition.
We went to Force Friday after we did the podcast.
Right.
So we were at Toys R Us at like 11:30.
And we got no remote.
Waiting in line.
We got no remote.
I did a Periscope of it.
The first time a black man holds a lightsaber... And my partner, this punk motherfucker, Brian Tudor, does not buy an action figure of Finn.
He was sold out.
He was.
That one right there is the only one I could get.
That's it. Did you go back?
Not yet.
Did
they restock? I haven't been back yet.
Have they restocked?
So. I'm getting, like...
I'm going to go get Finn tomorrow.
The Black Series, like, I love the Black Series figures. I will get as many of them as I can find, except for Kylo Ren. I just did not like... There's something about that figure where it's like, it's not worth $20. If I find a markdown somewhere, I'll buy it.
I didn't like that design at first, but I'm kind of liking Kylo Ren.
I like the design of the character. Like, I have an awesome poster I'll show you afterwards. But, like, for whatever reason, that Black Series figure, it's like, I don't need that one. You know?
Do you think they're saving something? They have to be.
Well, that's kind of why I want to avoid the Greg Rucka Star Wars book that's leading up to The Force Awakens. I kind of, Johnny told me to, not because I don't like spoilers.
Yeah.
He said to avoid it until after I see the movie.
All right, well, anyway, we're ADD, faster than light.
So, faster than light.
Interstellar, Battlestar Galactica. Interstellar,
BSG, you know, Star Trek, like, Star Trek, whatever.
Those are all good ingredients.
Yeah, and like, it's not ripping anything off. It's more like an homage, like...
Or
like,
taking influence from.
Definitely heavily influenced. There's a part where they're talking about their faster-than-light ship, and the one guy goes, oh, well, what are we going to call it? And they do jokes that they're going to call it the Enterprise. You know, and like, you know, it's called the Discovery. So, but anyway, all right. So that's kind of what I'm reading. You obviously shared the books that you read this week. So we just got a couple minutes left here. Let's talk about digital comics real quick. You mentioned Comixology a lot.
Yeah. It's a conundrum for me.
I mentioned Comixology a lot. I think, well, the reason we were going to talk about this is I shared with you that the Marvel books I buy them because they have the free digital download.
Right.
So I come home, I go to marvel.com/redeem, type in my code, and then go to my iPad, and I read the digital book after having bagged and boarded the one that I just bought. I love that. I love that model. It's great.
Now see, this is a true geek speaking.
I get the book.
A true geek. He just describes several behaviors that should be examined while he's laying on a leather couch. But hey, if it works, if you like it, and that's practical for you. I mean, I'm going to have to find a practical application myself,
right?
Because my books continue to stack up.
So there's
my physical books.
Yeah. So there's that. Like, so the Marvel books, right?
But so do yours.
Yeah. I know. Well. But like The Walking Dead.
So we're caught betwixt two worlds.
We are. Walking Dead. I've only ever got digitally.
Why?
I've only ever got digitally. Why? Because Comixology. Every few weeks.
The sales.
We'll do these amazing sales.
Yeah.
Like, so Descenders was $9.99 for the trade. Like, you know, and the same with Chrononauts.
But here's the question. And this is the dilemma of digital comics.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I was just like you on Walking Dead with Saga.
Yeah.
I had the first like 20 issues of Saga. Because one night I just found Saga and I was like, fuck, I got to keep reading. I just kept reading. Kept buying.
Right.
Okay. But then this really sexy ass hardback comes out, and I'm like, shit, I got $70 in my wallet. Let me buy this motherfucker. And I bought it, and it's the pride of my collection.
So I've done the opposite, where like I've like Rising Stars, the J. Michael Straczynski top.
Yeah. But a fat guy book. Floats away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then he comes back. As like,
and then there's a cop superhero, and
so like Willie, he comes back in the second book, and he's all like svelte and awesome, and he's like super powerful, and
there's a patriot guy too,
But anyway, like, so I have those. I have all of the individual issues. I have the trade paperbacks, and then I bought them because they were on sale on Comixology.
Fan is short for fanatic.
Yes. So,
or fanatical.
Now, I will be the first to say that the first two trades of that story were awesome. The third act was very Lostian.
What, Chrononauts?
No, Rising Stars.
Oh, yeah.
No, Chrononauts is only like, what, 4 or 5 issues in.
Chrononauts is the shit.
I read the first issue, I loved it, and I said, you know what, I'm going to wait to get this. Now,
who would play those two? Who do you want to see play them?
I want to see Owen Wilson.
Yes.
And
Vince Vaughn?
No. Maybe Vince Vaughn from like Swingers. No, God, no, not Ben Stiller.
You gotta have a straight man.
You do. You gotta have a straight man. Like Jason Bateman.
Yeah.
Like, because he's that snarky mean character, like that guy.
What about Josh Hartnett?
He's retired from the business though. Like, he's not really doing anything
is
anymore.
He?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know, because I kind of liked him, too.
He's awesome.
I can see that, though, now that you bring that up. But anyway, so the other reason that like I'm probably about like half and half, like digital versus analog. The other reason is with just the nature of the comic business. Like especially like Image books, if I don't remember to add it to my file in my pull list, like I will end up missing issues, and then I have to go back and buy them online anyway.
But one of the most impressive things about your room, when I come in here, and I, it's weird because I used to, when I owned a house, I had a man den that was about three times this size at the back of my house. And there was a big window. You could see my backyard, so I could see my kids when they were out playing, but I could be in the room working like you are. And I had bookshelves like these filled with graphic novels and paperbacks. And I just don't think the romance of the printed physical book is ever going to go away.
No.
That being said, I like being at work, and I'm like, somebody, like one of my buddies will call me, like the mysterious Antoine Fry will call me from the comic book store and be like, yo, dude, did you check out this new Moon Knight? I was like, nah, Moon Knight came out today, dog. Hold on for a second. Let me pull it up on Comixology. And then I pull it up, and I'm, you know, read it between calls or customers, and it's like, that's cool.
Well, I mean, I was traveling a fair bit, too, and, you know, that I used to buy trades specifically to travel. Like, so I would buy, you know, this trade, that trade, and, like, you know, they all, like, Death in the Family always came with me on the plane, you know? Now, it's just they all live in my iPad. And it's just like I still have them.
See, I haven't totally flipped to the I don't have an iPad. I haven't totally flipped to the tablet world yet. I don't have a Kindle, or I don't have any Nooks or anything. But I look at everything on my phone, and it's I mean, even if I had a tablet, it's still not, to me, it doesn't have that tangible feeling, that charge I get from going to, I mean, you still go to the comic book store.
Every week.
You know? I mean, so you're actually spending money. You're actually, sometimes you duplicate the money you spend.
Oh, yeah. Like, I will spend my money at the comic book store, and then...
Especially if, like, let me give you, for instance, a Mignola book that I really like. Abe Sapien. Or, what's the other book that I like by Mignola lately? Lobster Johnson. Okay. At the back of Lobster Johnson trades, they'll have like 10 pages of like concept art and stuff like that that I can't get.
So if you buy like the volumes, like they typically have that. So like the Invincible volumes, right? So like both Invincible and Walking Dead, I bought, I want to say the first like 14 volumes of both of those books, like something crazy like that. And then I got to the point where I was caught up, and I'm just, it's a sickness and I can't wait. So I started buying the individual issues as they came out. But yeah, like that's the thing I miss most about doing that with Invincible is like the cool like character sketches from Ryan Otley. Like the
I love his. Did you ever read Wolfman?
Yes.
What'd you think of that?
It's cool.
It was pretty cool.
So
the designs as they got to his character were really cool. And I like that. That's part of the thrill of going to the comic book store, and also just walking in the comic book store and not knowing what you're going to pick out.
Right. I mean, because I find new books. Like, I totally forgot about Faster Than Light until I got into the store. And then I forgot about it again, and then Johnny's girlfriend came in to get his books for him, and it was on his list. I was like, oh, crap, I missed that. So I remembered, you know, to get it. But
you know, I have another obsession of an old school book that I want to get a complete run on. And it's weird. You probably never even heard of it. Man-Wolf.
I've heard of it and I read it.
George Perez illustrated it. It was in Marvel Premiere. John Jameson is Man-Wolf, but he goes to this alternate dimension. He has, like, a quiver on his back. He has shoots bow and arrow and a sword. And
cool.
He's like a warrior in this fantasy world. I mean, what's not to like about that?
I mean, there's archery. There's swordplay. And,
a werewolf.
Werewolf. And it's drawn by George Perez.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Ryan Otley, real quick, we were both kind of saying how much we like him. The other day, he was on Periscope, And
Brian Outlet kicks ass.
So, you know, this is a totally like visual medium what we're doing here right now. But as you can see, Bizarro. he was drawing Bizarro.
God.
And like, I mean, how awesome is that?
But he's never going to do a commercial book. Is he against commercial stuff?
I don't know much about him. I know Johnny got me, he went to Motor City Con and Ryan Otley was there, and he got me this awesome Ryan Otley print that's signed. And it's Spidey driving the car, and like Venom's like tongue is wagging out of the bag, and it's really, really cool
looking. Ryan Otley, he's a great artist, so. And I like Invincible because of him.
Yeah.
Invincible's a fun book, but anyway, we'll get on that later.
So, we gotta
do an Invincible episode.
Yeah,
where you break that down.
So, all right. So, I mean, just kind of wrap up real quick. Like, yeah. Digital. For me, it supplements the rest of my sickness. It does let me find books. Like, I would have never read Morning Glories without seeing it, the first three issue or first three trades for $4.99.
Yeah, I never would have read Lumberjanes.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have
picked up Chew at all.
Well, I didn't find out that I should really read Lumberjanes until 10:30 on Saturday night when there's no other place I can get it. So that for me is, hey, I can wake up at 12:30 at night and be like, yeah.
You know, and I mean, Comixology isn't the only one. You have Made Fire, which they do. They do the motion comics.
I don't like those.
Like so IDW like has all their books through Made Fire now. Apple had their big thing yesterday. They were announced like the new iPhones, new iPads, new Apple TV.
The Pencil
or whatever. Yeah. Well, the new Apple TV is actually going to have a Made Fire app on there for the motion comics.
Shit.
I'll show you what they look like.
They're probably going to be looking for, what are they going to do, like their own Netflix and all that kind
of thing? No. I mean, they have that already.
They're probably going to be looking for their own content.
They have that with iTunes. I mean, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
Like, they don't need to make their own content. They understand that. I mean, they're the biggest record label in the world right now. You know? So, all right. So, I mean, for me, digital, it's an addition to the print books.
Right.
So...
What are we gonna let's plan out next episode? What are we gonna do next episode? What do you think?
I don't know. You really have been wanting to talk about Unbreakable for the last couple weeks, and kind of do our blasphemy about that because we both have very different opinions.
We haven't had a guest lately either.
Yeah,
we haven't had a throwback.
Yeah, you've been kind of flying solo the last couple weeks.
Well, I mentioned Man-Wolf, but I haven't gotten it yet. I was reading Thunderstrike last night. So I'll come up with something.
All right.
We'll come up with something. But we want to entertain you guys. We want this to be a positive experience. So I kind of toned down my vitriol this evening.
And the other thing next week, we'll talk about the Comic Expo that's coming up in Cincinnati.
You got a Cincinnati Comic Expo. Adam West and Burt Ward are going to be there.
Yeah, there's like Morena Bacchina, Eve Miles from Gotham and... Serenity and Firefly, Eve Miles from Torchwood and Doctor Who. Who else? Just ton of great guests. Ton of good artists and comic creators
and
are going to be there.
And see, I just asked you what our episodes in the future are going to be about, and you come up with good stuff because there are some things that I've tried to pierce, like Doctor Who. I used to like the old Doctor Who's, but the new ones I tried to delve into and just kind of nonplussed. And Torchwood, I was just kind of like, these are like sci-fi channel shows that are like irritating because there's like a dragon made out of CGI, paper mache, and it just doesn't work, you know. But yeah, if I can find some redeeming qualities in those, I'd like to revisit those. I'm sure you already know.
Yeah, so like Doctor Who's an interesting one, and we can totally get into that. I kind of gave up on it a little bit, and I'm back into it now with the new Doctor with Peter Capaldi, so...
Here's a good one. Yeah. Here's a good show that I watched that I did not expect to like. And I watched this about, I think, last year, and I heard the new season is available now. Did you ever watch the From Dusk Till Dawn TV show?
But I listened to an interview with Robert Rodriguez, and it was added to my Netflix queue. After hearing him talk about it.
The first season was pretty good until they just tried to go way out with the vampire stuff.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Quentin Tarantino's character, I hated him in I hated Quentin Tarantino from Dusk Till Dawn.
A lot of people will say that too.
But the guy that plays him,
yeah,
perfect. Fucking perfect.
Nice.
It was great. You should watch it. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I might go ahead and watch the second season. But anyway.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm finishing up Mr. Robot on USA.
Yeah.
It's like Fight Club for hackers, or with hackers.
I think, did either Arlie or Brad mention that on our community?
Somebody might have, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Brad, maybe.
I watched it because I'm a big Christian Slater fan. Obviously, growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, he was kind of everywhere.
I like and Christian then, Slater.
The other main character, Rami Malek, I'm a big fan of his. He was awesome in The Pacific, and so I always liked to support.
How does that work though? Fight Club meets hackers.
Like, you just kind of gotta watch it. I don't want to
have like little emoticons that fight each other.
It's emojis. They're just like, you know, pizza, taco. Wait, right. There's no taco. Pizza, birthday cake. Exactly. You know. But now, honestly, like, I watched the first episode and I was like, what?
I've been hearing people rave about it.
And like, I, over the span of like 4 days, I have the last half of the last episode to watch
today. Did I tell you that I watched With the Boys Ex Machina?
No. Let's save that and we'll talk about that next week because I love that movie.
I did. It appropriately freaked me out.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Let's go ahead and call the 8th episode. Yeah, dude. Can we believe we've done 8 episodes of this?
8 episodes. And
this nonsense already?
We believe it's getting stronger. We're feeling a better format.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have a natural flow. I mean, really, this is a conversation that we would have had anyway.
Yeah.
So,
you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome, interwebs. Right.
Hope everybody's enjoying it. Please let us know. Chime in. Tell your friends, your family. If you're in the industry and you like what we do,
get at us. You can come on.
Send us some information and so we can talk about your stuff. And either way, if we like it, we don't like it, we respect it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, you know.
So, all right. As always, 5-star reviews are super helpful in the iTunes store to keep us growing in the rankings and getting more listeners and having people find us who don't already know us.
Yeah. Facebook page, holler at us.
Yeah.
Make comments and say things so that we can kind of get a clue as to what you want to hear. I mean, because I'll talk about things you guys want to hear all day long.
Brian is our awesome community manager on the Facebook page. I chime in every now and then, but I kind of let him run wild with it. It's his beast. That
which I was going to mention to you. Fun. Why don't you?
Because I take care of Twitter.
Yeah, but I like the tit for tat.
Well, I chime in every now and then. Yeah. I try and like post something at least once a day.
But, yeah.
You know, you definitely like own that realm and create a lot of good conversation. All right, guys. So, Brian, where can they find you?
You can find me at www.ravenhammercomics.com. Search Lucius Hammer on Facebook or search Harlem Shadow on Facebook. And you can find my indie published works there. Or you can find me at www.infamouspodcast.com.
And we're Infamous Podcast on Twitter. Same thing on Facebook. You can email us at theinfamouspodcast@gmail.com. Again, I'm Brian Tudor. I'm at Brian Tudor on Twitter and pretty much everywhere else. Check me out on Instagram. I am getting ready to start up my Deadpool Kills the Lego Universe Season 2 starting this fall.
That's interesting. Also, I'm preparing an online strip. That didn't sound right. I'm preparing an online comic book for our Infamous Podcast website so that you guys can have a little bit more...
A taste.
So you can have a little bit more intriguing material on our website. We haven't really paid a lot of attention to that in recent weeks, but we're going to be putting some more stuff out there for you to look at. And it's not just going to be reviews and,
you know, press releases and things like that. We want to create some cool stuff. Brian is trying to get me to start writing again
with he should.
Some of the things.
He has a very cool idea that I would like to see. What's the name of it again? Just
Precinct Freak.
Precinct Freak. Did you see that Monster Squad is on Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Yeah. I queued it up like the day it was on there.
It didn't age well. But
it didn't because I watched part of it the other. It was on like IFC not too long ago or something like that. Yeah. No, it was on Epix.
Still fun.
And I watched some of it.
Still fun, though.
All right. Well, hey guys, that's been the podcast this week. Thank you.
keep it real. We'll see you next time.
All right, later, guys. Peace.